Good morning. Welcome, gentlemen. Great to have you this morning. We're going to get rolling here. Just a couple things by way of introduction. It was Mark Twain who said, "The rumors of my death are greatly exaggerated." And I don't know what was said about me by Brent last week, but no one gets rid of me that easily. I'm like a bad rash. So don't forget that, all right? I am here. And it's going to be a great privilege to have Will speak to us today. And our last Thursday was a lot more interesting together than this Thursday is. And I'm sure he'll elaborate on that. But it's great to have you here. Just a few things. You got the handouts in front of you for your questions. These booklets are available if you didn't get one. We can pass those around in case you need one. What I'll do is when I'm done talking and Will comes up, I'll set those in the back. If you just slip back and get one, you can. If you want to take some of those, if you need to get one of those. The other thing is, don't forget our emphasis is each guy sharing what's a verse of scripture that has been instrumental in a period of their life or for their life, for their family. And as Will shares today, that's something we're asking you to do. What might that verse be for you? And maybe you're like, how do I figure that out? Well, that's an easy question. It's a hard question, all right? Because the hard work is just getting into God's Word. But we really want to drill down on that next week, all right? So I'm asking you this week, think through, what might that verse be for me that I want to claim for this time in my life, for my family, whatever it may be? So we'll really leverage that next week, so I want to draw that to your attention. Be thinking about that. What is that passage, that verse that God may want to use in my life? And again, we'll talk about that next week. So thanks for being here. Let me open a prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Will. Father God, we thank you for bringing us out on this morning, and we thank you for each man that's gathered here and where they are in their lives. And Lord, I pray for the homes they represent, for the jobs that they represent, and for what you've called them to. I pray that this time would benefit us regarding that. We thank you for the power of your word, and we ask that you would use it today as Will speaks to us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. You know, it's funny you said that Mark Twain quote. I actually was thinking about that as rumors of what happened to me spread. I said the rumors of my fall are greatly exaggerated because, so a week ago right now, it was, so right now 6:10, so a week ago right now, I was actually in Colorado and I was on my way up probably one of the coolest hikes that I've ever experienced in my life. And it was awesome. It was me and three students out in Estes Park, and there's a mountain out there called Emerald Mountain. And Emerald Mountain was one we hadn't climbed before. We've done a couple other ones multiple times, and we were like, man, we want to try something a little bit harder, a little bit more challenging. And so we headed up Emerald Mountain, and we got to the top of Emerald Mountain so right now it's 6:10 Iowa time, it's 5:10 mountain time. And so we we're on our way up right now, and about 5:30 we got to the top of the mountain. We got to watch the sunrise, and it was beautiful. And I was having the time of my life, So there's something that happened in between the time of my life and this. And what that is that there's all these little like places to climb around on, and I was having a blast. And as I'm climbing around and just having the time of my life, the next thing I know, I'm like falling and bouncing and everything's black. I don't know if my eyes were physically closed or if it was my brain like shutting out, you know, falling and bouncing all over the place. And I get to the bottom of my fall and I stopped. It's like one of those moments where you go, okay, I'm not dead. All right, we got that going for me. Okay, two, all right, there's no bones sticking out. Like I'm good. Okay, I think I'm all right. But if you start to wonder, like, how did I actually get here? What actually happened? And actually, here's two things happened. Number one, I lost focus. I was climbing around, I was having the time of my life. For a while, I was really careful where I put my feet, where I put my hands. Like, I wanted to make sure I did exactly the right things. I was super focused. But then the joy just took over and, like, man, it was amazing. I lost focus and I grabbed onto something that wouldn't hold. I just, the next thing I know, I'm falling because I had trusted my feet, my hands, to something that wouldn't actually hold my weight. And so I had this verse already, like this is what happened, this is a verse that I've had for a long time, but I almost changed it. I almost changed it after this because I was reading in scripture this week as I was sitting and I read this verse in Psalm 61:2. It says, lead me to the rock that is higher than me. Maybe that should be my new life verse. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure God, that's what got me in trouble in the first place was that rock. But here's the thing. So I'm out there. I lost focus. I grabbed onto something that couldn't hold me. And the next thing I know, I'm at the bottom of this thing and I'm broken and I'm bruised and I'm trying to figure out how do I get out of here? What do I do? And what I needed in that moment was I needed some clarity. I needed some clarity to tell me like, hey, Will, like, you're okay, you're just being a baby, or hey, Will, like, you are really, really messed up right now and you need help. And thankfully, I had some guys on that mountain with me that not only told me exactly how broken I was, they're like, by the way, there's blood there. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know I was bleeding from there. Okay, great. Like, super helpful. And so they're not only did they provide that kind of clarity for me, but they began to take action steps to help me get out of the mess that I was in. And the reason I opened with that story is number one, because it's really obvious that something happened, so I might as well tell you all, otherwise you're just gonna be wondering the whole time. And number two, it's actually not the first time I've been in that situation. It's the first time I've actually fallen off a mountain. But it's not the first time I've lost focus in my life and grabbed onto something that couldn't hold my weight and ended up broken and confused and stuck. This is where my verse, and really my book of the Bible, if I can have one of those, came from. Was about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, my wife and I, we started having our first kid. Like, we were just busy with life. I don't know if, like, some of you guys are in that baby situation, and, like, you're like, man, like, we thought we had marriage figured out, and then we have a kid, and now, like, we don't sleep, and the kid's yelling at us, and we're yelling at the kid, and we're yelling at each other, and, like, we're trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and we were in that situation, that time of life. So number one, we had introduced a child, a maniac, into our home. Number two, career was not exactly the way I had it planned out. It was not fulfilling. Like, my hopes and dreams were not being fulfilled there. And number three, we were deeply involved in the ministry of our church, and it was not going the way we wanted it to go. So there were some things in our life that were not exactly the way we would have planned them. They were not what we thought was happening. And I began to lose focus on my relationship with Jesus Christ. I began to lose focus on the things in my life that actually really mattered. And I began to grab onto some rock that wasn't gonna hold me. And I started to chase all kinds of stuff, you guys. Yes, I'm leading in the church, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not like just like, it's not like I've abandoned Jesus. But while I would still say, like, man, yeah, I love Jesus, I'm pursuing Jesus, the truth was that I had actually lost focus and started to grab onto some other stuff that weren't him. And one of those things for me, there's a couple of those. So number one, one of the big things for me was that I said, you know what? If this is going to be my life, then I'm just going to chase as hard as I can at work. And so I said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to enroll in grad school. And I enrolled for my MBA in the MBA program at Drake University. And honestly, it was a way in my life of deciding to climb somewhere that God actually hadn't laid out for me. And starting to chase some stuff that had nothing to do with the life plan that God had for me. And I just said, you know what? If I'm going to make it at work, I'm going to just go all in. And so here I am. I'm leading the church. So that's a couple days a week. I'm working late nights, 9 o'clock at night. I'm going to school at night, one or two nights a week, till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. I'm staying up late writing papers, doing homework. You guys, we already had this baby terror in our house. Like, this just introduced that one more level. And I began to grow more distant in my relationship with Jesus. I began to grow more distant in my relationship with my wife. And so then the next step is, man, when that's happening, you begin to look for sexual fulfillment other places as well. And that's when, honestly, you guys, like, this is 2009, lust and pornography took a huge hold in my life. I chased a dream that wasn't God's dream. I ended up in a place that wasn't where God intended for me to be, and now I began to pursue things that God never intended me to pursue. And in 2010, it all kind of came to a head. In 2010 would be where I would describe myself as laying at the bottom of the rod, just kind of bruised and broken. Just going like, all right, God, like, this really hurts. This is not where you intended for me to be. And I need help. I need help. I don't know how I got here. I know I lost focus. I know I grabbed onto some things that couldn't hold me. But I have no idea what to do next. And so I don't know if that story resonates with you and with your heart at all. I don't know if you've ever ended up in a place where you've literally hit rock bottom. But that was where I was at when God met me with a friend in the book of Colossians. You guys, on that mountain a week ago today, I had three friends who gave me clarity as to how badly I was broken and where to go for help. And that was the book of Colossians for me in the year 2010. And so if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, then you can go to 2010, sorry. You can go to the book of Colossians with me. I would love to have you join me. And so let me give you a flyover of the book of Colossians, because I don't have time for the whole book. It was my verse, not my book, and Matt's going to yell at me. And so, but I want to set the scene a little bit, because the verse we're going to land in is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 is where we're going to land. But to get there, you have to understand the overall picture of the book of Colossians. And so here's what Paul does. Paul writes to these believers. He writes this letter, and he lays it out in a very orderly fashion. And he lays it out with the most clearly defined defense and explanation of the person and work of Jesus Christ that you're going to find anywhere in the New Testament. He lays it out. He's going to give you the character and the work of Jesus in a way that you're not going to find anywhere else. And so for the sake of setting the scene, I want to read for you Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He says this about who Jesus is. He says, he, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He says this about Jesus. He says, Jesus is more powerful and more glorious than you give him credit for. And in my brokenness, when I was laying there trying to figure out what to make of the mess of my life, what I needed is a clear picture of who Jesus was, because I had become bored and complacent with my rescuer. I was at a camp this last week, obviously. I don't need to tell you that. We were at this camp last week, and there's a guy by the name of Timothy Atik that was the preacher, and one of the things that he said that I think resonates with the truth of this passage was he says, if you are bored or complacent with Jesus, you have not seen the real Jesus. And that's what Paul's trying to tell his readers here in Colossians. This is what God was trying to tell me, is he says, well, if you have gotten bored or complacent with Jesus, you have not seen the real Jesus. Jesus is God himself. He is the almighty, all-powerful, all-ever-existing creator God. And if you're laying and broken and trying to figure out how to make a mess of your life, the very first thing that Paul wants his people to know is, man, you have to see Jesus for who he really is. And I needed to see a picture of a rescuer that was bigger than myself and bigger than the mess I got myself into. So that's the person of Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 20, and he talks about the mission and the work of Jesus. He says, not only is he more powerful than you give him credit for, he's more personal than you. He says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, but he's now reconciled in his body of flesh by death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. So he says, not only is Jesus God the creator, but he's also the one who personally came to bring you back into right relationship and to set things right. He came to fix all things. And that includes my relationship with him. And not only did he fix my brokenness, and does he offer to fix your brokenness, but he wipes all of the shame clean from your heart. And guys, at the bottom of my mountain, when I've fallen spiritually and emotionally, I desperately needed somebody to say, hey, Jesus wants to take you where you're at. He's going to clean you up, and you're going to be okay. And that's what he does for us. And so it's with this expanded, more accurate picture of Jesus that we then head into Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And there's so much more I would love to say about chapters 1 and 2, but we're going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to try to eliminate that. But guys, I would encourage you to read this book. I love it. It's my favorite. So here's where we're at. Now we know that Jesus, the all-creating, all-sustaining God, became brokenness so that we may experience wholeness. And then he says this. If then, Colossians 3:1, you have been raised with Christ. And we need to stop right there. And I had to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, have I been raised with Christ? Has there been a moment in my life where I've been taken from my brokenness, from death into life? Colossians chapter 2, he lays it out this way in verses 13 and 14. He says, you were dead in your trespasses, but God made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. And for some of you in this room, you might actually have a knowledge of God, a knowledge of Jesus, a familiarity with religion and with the church, but there's never actually been a point in your life where you've been raised with Christ. And you need to take that step. There is no way off the brokenness, out of the brokenness of your life, until that happens. And so he says, if then you've been raised with Christ. So the question is, have I been raised with Christ? And if you're not, you're still alienated from God. You're still stuck in the debt of your sin. And that's where you need to start today. Jesus wants a relationship with you. You guys, they sent a rescue team of 8 people up the mountain for me. They sent 2 park rangers and 6 search and rescue dudes. And they had all the gear you could possibly want. They had all the training and all the knowledge and everything that they needed to get me off the mountain. And there was a point where they had done all the checks to make sure that I wasn't like knocked out of my mind and like that I was okay. And they were ready to transport me down the mountain. And they said, all right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to lift you up and we're going to put you from the ground onto this stretcher. And we're going to put this stretcher onto this giant ATV tire, guys. It was so cool. And then we're going to roll you down the mountain. And I had to actually make a conscious decision at that moment. There's somebody here, a whole team of people here, offering to help me. They have training in this. They know what they're doing. But honestly, that freaks me out. And guys, it was the weirdest experience of my life. Because I made the decision, all right, I'm going to trust them. And I'm going to ride down the mountain with these guys. It was a little sketchy. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was strapped to this thing, I'm tipping sideways. And like sometimes my head's pointed down the mountain, so all I see is my feet and the sky. And the tops of the trees, and it was a ride. But they knew what they were doing. They absolutely knew what they were doing. It was 100% on me to put my trust in them to get me out of my brokenness. And guys, it's the same thing with Jesus. It looks a little scary, and honestly, it is. But you have a Savior who's going, man, I know exactly what I'm doing. I can bring you from death to life. I can bring you from brokenness to wholeness. Will you trust me? And if you've not been raised with Christ, that's where you need to start. And this is a safe, and honestly, this is a really encouraging place to do that. Every single guy at your table, if you just say, hey, this is where I'm at. I don't know if I've actually been raised with Christ. That is a place to start. So he says, if you've been raised with Christ, what do I do? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So he gives two commands, two imperatives here. He says, seek and set your mind. And when I read the word seek now, my mind is forever redirected. I don't know. Hopefully this will connect with at least some of you. Were any of you ever fans of like, or we? I'm not gonna say fans. That sounds like early or something. But that's the best. Were any of you guys ever read or watch Harry Potter? Okay, a few of you, like five. All right, awesome. All right. So I recently started watching these movies and reading these books with my girls. And for those of you who know, there's a sport in Harry Potter in the series called Quidditch. And Harry Potter was appointed as the Seeker. And the Seeker has one job, and it's to grab this little ball. And the ball flies all over the place. It's up in the air. It's down low. It'll disappear like into the sun. You won't see it for a while, and then all of a sudden it'll pop out. And Harry has one job. It's to find that thing. Because if he finds that thing, they win. Every single time. But there are 1,000 other things going on in that match. And none of them matter to Harry. They're super distracting. There are people getting like, I mean, guys, it's like, whatever. Sorry. It's early. My brain's not. All right. Filter. Okay. So there's 1,000 things going on, right? People get knocked off their brooms. There's goals being scored, like all this stuff. And honestly, none of it matters. Harry has one job, and it's to chase that little snitch. And when I read the word seek now, that kind of focus and that kind of, it's so unnatural to ignore what's happening with his teammates and just to chase that thing. And honestly, it feels equally unnatural for us. There are so many things going on down below that want our attention and that fight for us. And so I want to ask you two questions that were asked of me. So in this season in 2010, one of the things that endeared Colossians to me and helped me to unpack it and get the most out of it and to get out of my brokenness was that I started listening to a guy I'd never heard of before. And they were doing this series on the book of Colossians. The guy's name is Matt Chandler. At this point, a lot of you know who he is. He's a pastor at a church called The Village down in Dallas. And he was preaching through the book of Colossians, and he asked these two questions that have forever stuck with me. He said this. He said, what are the things in your life that are robbing you of your affections for Jesus? And then the second question is, what are the things in your life that stir your affections for Jesus? Those are the two questions he asked. And these are actually two things we want to spend some time at our tables talking about today. And we're going to start with stirring your affections for Jesus. What is it that when you're in that moment, when you're in that, you feel more connected to your faith, more connected to your Savior, to your rescuer? Because we've gotten this bigger, this more expanded view of Jesus. How do we get to a point where we see him more clearly? And obviously, like time in his word is a huge piece of that. For me, it's what music I listen to. You guys, listening to music that points me to Jesus, even outside of church, is a huge piece of that for me. Time in nature, guys, the mountains for me are an incredible worship experience. Like, every morning when we were out there, I would just take my Bible on these hikes with me, and I would just find a little rock crevice and sit and read. And yes, there's nowhere that I feel closer to God than surrounded by the mountains. Maybe you're a beach person, and so maybe for you it's the beach. Time with God's people. Do you have relationships in your life that stir your affections for Jesus? Maybe it's time alone. Maybe you're a person who just needs to get alone, right? Whatever it is for you, what are the things in your life that stir your affections for Jesus, and how do you create space for more of that in your life? Identify two or three really concrete things in your life that you're like, man, when this happens, my affections for Jesus are stirred. I set my mind on things above. Create more space for that. Secondly, what are the things in your life that are robbing you of your affections for Jesus? For me, it was school. This is actually what I wrote. I wrote it down in 2010 when I decided to drop out of school. And I wrote these three things. School, for me, had become an idol. I loved being in school. I loved telling people I was in school. I don't know about that. Maybe that sounds really like petty right now. But maybe you get that. Like, you're like, man, the act of doing something is cool. But the act of telling everyone else that I do that thing, like, that's, like, for some of us, like, that's actually, like, a real deal. I love telling people that I was an MBA student at Drake University, and that I was going to, like, blah, 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 blah. It was my pride and my identity, right? school ended up becoming an idol. School had become a distraction. I was spending my free time studying instead of in the Word, and spending my evenings with my classmates instead of my family. School had become a dream or an ambition that I had not turned over to God and let Him have His way with. You guys, that was the deal for me. But since then, it's been 1,000 things. It's been 1,000 little things. I don't know, maybe it's for you, it's social media. It's an addiction to your phone. It's your Netflix subscription. Your Hulu, Amazon Prime, blah, 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 like 87 subscriptions that you have. Maybe it's a career dream. Maybe it's the office drama and politics of it all. What is it that in your life is robbing you of your affections for Jesus? What needs to change to either eliminate or to bring those things into their proper place so that you can see Jesus more clearly? And then finally, He gives us this incredible encouragement. So we've got a glorious picture of who Jesus is. We have a goal to pursue. And He says this, He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory." And I want to make two really quick observations. Number one, our success in this endeavor of setting our minds on things above, our success does not ultimately determine our right standing with God. Our right standing with God was secured for us in Christ on that cross. And so that when God looks at us, our life is hidden in Christ. When God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Himself. And while Paul wants us to chase hard, pursue hard after all of the things that are above, your success and your failure does not make or break your relationship with God and whether or not He will accept you and love you. And so we don't pursue these things for the approval of God, but instead because of the approval of God. And that makes all the difference. It's the difference between freedom and slavery, between burden and delight. And the second one is that we were made for and redeemed for the things above. And we will spend eternity with Christ above. So no matter how great your struggle is here today, no matter how broken, how messed up, how stuck on that mountain you feel right now, if you've been raised with Christ, there's hope. Because there's a day coming when the healing will be complete. There's a day coming when it's all going to be made right. And there's no greater joy then we will sit with Christ on high and revel in who He is and His redemption for all of eternity. And if that's where our ultimate eternal joy is going to be found, as we don't do these things so that we get the approval of God, but we do these things so that we can get a taste of that joy right here and right now. And honestly, I'll be lying to you if I said, "Well, man, ever since I found these verses, I always pursue the things that are on high." You guys, it is hard to chase Jesus. You guys are up at 6 in the morning because you think it's worth it. And it's worth it. It's not, we don't do it for the approval of Jesus. Man, we've seen a picture of who He is. We've seen what He's done for us. And we say, "Man, I would have no greater joy than to chase after You." And that was where the healing began for me. And I hope that in the book of Colossians this morning, that's where maybe healing will begin, or at least continue for you as well. Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that You chose to get me off that mountain. That You chose to get me out of my brokenness. And God, even though I've been rescued, I still feel like I'm a work in progress. Like there's so many things that distract me from the affections that you want me to have for You. And God, this morning, as these men go to work at their tables, God, would You help us to deal ruthlessly with anything that would distract us or prevent us from chasing after You? And Father, would You surround us with people who would stir our affections for Jesus and fix our eyes on the hope that is to come, that we will be with you, celebrating and fully healed and fully reconciled for all of eternity to come. And finally, God, if there's a man here this morning who's not been brought from death to life, who's not been raised with Christ, God, I pray that today would be the day. Give them the courage just to be honest about where they're at their tables this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, guys, let me wrap us up in prayer. Hope that was a good conversation for you. Great questions asked this week. What's robbing my affections for Christ? What's stirring my affections? Two opposite good questions for us. Listen, before I pray, before we go, when you come next week, what's that verse? What's your Colossians 3? What's your Psalm 1? I wasn't here for Randy last week, but whatever he shared. What is that for you? We're really going to leverage that next week as we go from here to take it a step beyond just 4 weeks around these tables. So I want you to come next week with that kind of locked down in your mind. Man, here's the verse I would hold to. Here's the scripture God's given me. Get into his word this week and really lock down on that. And we're going to talk about what to do with that moving forward, all right? Let me close with some prayer. Thank you, Will, for sharing with us. And have a great week, rest of your week and weekend. Let me pray. God, we thank you for the word of God, that it is that great tool that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would put it to work this week in our lives, that we would exercise the opportunity to set our hearts on things above. Lord, to seek you, as Colossians 3 tells us. I thank you for how you have used Will's experiences in this past week and in 2010 to really shape this talk today. And so we thank you for how you work in that way. And so I pray the searchlight of Scripture, the power of the Spirit of God, would work in our hearts this week as we've seen through Colossians 3 to change us. So go with us, we pray, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, a little help putting tables and chairs away if we can. Thanks, man.